Well, I'd just like to introduce myself. My name is Pat. I used to go to church here. Seems like it's been a while. It's been really good, a few weeks. And actually, I look back over the last schedule, and it's been a while since I've even taught, just all Christmas different things going on with that season and Rob sharing. And so there's been very little opportunity for me, but we were very well rested and appreciate any prayers that were lifted up for our behalf on our behalf. And as I just considered, what would the Lord have for me to communicate today? Just maybe a combination of trying to think a little bit about what we've been talking about with the kingdom, and a little bit about what God has been teaching or revealing or showing me personally, and try to begin to tie a little bit of a bow around some of the kingdom ideas. I'm not sure where we're going next. Because actually, we'll be out of town again next week, and then we'll be back forever, and won't leave anymore. And you'll have to be patient with me. I just looked at my printout, and it's like every other line is missing of my notes. So it could get entertaining here. I'll try to read some of the passages off the monitor there. So, all right. So as I was thinking about this idea of the kingdom, I was thinking, what is it we need to keep managing, to keep paying attention to? We can have these big high-level ideas of what it means to be people of the kingdom. Well, what does that mean on a daily basis? What levers do we need to be playing with? What do we need to be listening to? What do we need to motivate ourselves in? Obviously, there's things that the scriptures tell us to remind one another, encourage one another. And for me, there's just a few big ideas, big rocks. Obviously, a myriad of good things to think about when we think about keeping a focus on the kingdom, but there's a few essential things in the way I think about it. And for me, they come in kind of a couple camps. One is almost this attitudinal, where the scriptures say, you know, there's faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love, right? But they're this kind of these ways of operating, of thinking, of shaping what it is, how we're seeing the world. And then we have this very central piece of truth and understanding called the Word of God. The scriptures are just so central to us hanging on to and staying focused on the kingdom. And so we have the Word and promises. And in that, because the Word is first a person, it's not first a book. The truth is first a person. It's not first a book. It's to recognize all of this is pointing us to this deep abiding connection with the person of God. It's not an academic exercise to remember academic things. It is to rightly think and relate to this person. And we need the book to do that well, but the goal is not to know the book. The goal is to connect to the person. And so we have this truth-based relationship connection with the living God, Savior of the world, the Father, who art in heaven. And so that's really important that we have some mechanism, some system. And then, most of you have been through perspectives, we have this understanding of, well, what are we doing? So those things are the first two columns are kind of who is God, what has he done? Then who are we, who has he declared us to be, and what does he want us to do? How then should we live? And so this vector, this mission, this purpose and place, personhood that is granted to us as sons of the living God to walk with him, to serve him, to represent him as ambassadors to the world for the redemption of all things. And so we have this kind of idea of this is the stuff we got to make the big rocks. If we don't pay attention to those things, and there may be others, again, this is not an exhaustive look, but for me, when I think about why, you know, what's the currency of the kingdom? Well, it's faith. Well, how do we know we're doing it well? It's faith being expressed in love. And somehow there's this place of hope. And I really wanted to settle into this idea of hope today. Because I think that this is where it intersects with some of the things that God has been doing in me. Does that make sense? So all of that is to say, let's look at hope. Let's look at what is so important about having hope. And when we consider that, when we look at what grants us hope, why do human beings hope? Why is that so essential? Faith, hope, and love. Like, faith is really important. Love is really important. Why is faith, hope so important? And for me, as I think about the story that God has had me in, that's kind of a wrestling. Because when you think about human beings, if you're experiencing a negative consequence of some kind, you're experiencing a negative emotion, something that's unpleasant, as human beings, we try to make those negative things go away. Okay, that's what we do. When something happens, we medicate. Turn on the TV, drink something we shouldn't, pop a pill, go shopping, eat chocolate. We do something to try to make that negative feeling go away, that unpleasant feeling. The problem with that is when we cope, when we medicate in any way, even things that aren't inherently sinful, all of our feelings go away. We can't selectively mask unpleasant emotion. It dumbs and numbs it all down. It's kind of that way with hope. You are always going to have some sense, some understanding of what the future will be. And when you choose or you get injured, you get to the place in your life where I don't know if I want to hope anymore. I don't know. I know the promise that God will never disappoint me, and intellectually I believe that's true. 100 years from now, it'll all be clear. But right now, in this moment, in this space, it really feels like God disappointed me. And I'm having a hard time stirring up faith again. And in my own journey of healing and trying to understand some of my motivations for years and decades of following Jesus, as some of those broken reasons for pursuing certain things and you know, having goals and spiritual ambition, as those get clarified and some of my broken reasons for doing those things go away, sometimes just the resolve to do anything is just, it's just like gone. There's like this vacuum. And I'm going, okay, well, what? I don't want those motives anymore. I know they were broken. But how do I reattach to new motives? How do I reattach to meaningful reasons for living and pursuing things of God so that I can actually walk with him? So that's kind of this journey of hope where I've kind of been in that place. It's like, well, I know I can't work and toil for the same reasons in certain regards that I have in the past. So what is that going to be? And I've kind of been in this place of feeling like, I don't know, what do I need to hope? What is that? But what I figured out, what I see, what I observe, just an observation, if we don't put hope in something that is good and pure or positive, just like when we medicate negative emotions, if we don't cultivate positive hope, and it doesn't even have to be hope in God or truth, it's just like, you know, winning the lottery can make you a more positive person. Something good is going to happen. You can, you know, the idea of being, I've got high hopes kind of song, you know. You just keep hoping. Something good's going to come along. If you don't keep fighting for that, human beings automatically become cynical. Hopelessness doesn't mean you don't hope in anything. It just means you don't hope in anything good. You expect garbage. You know, I shared this before, but the cynical person's guide to life and how we see things, you know, do not walk behind me, for I may not lead. Do not walk ahead of me, for I may not follow. Do not walk beside me either. Just leave me alone. So if you're not hoping in something positive, your hope is just to be left alone. So you hope for something that's toxic. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a broken fan belt and a leaky tire. We are born naked, wet, and hungry, then things get worse. It may be that your sole purpose in life is to simply serve as a warning to others. It's not, we wouldn't call it hope, but that's where our minds go if we cannot hang on to positive things to put our hope in. To remember that God is doing things. And just something that would encourage me, I would just love to spend a little time. We may not get too far into this, and maybe in a couple weeks we'll come back to this. Maybe this is all the Lord has. But I just wanted us as a body, as a flock, to have an opportunity to declare some of the things that God has and is doing. And it's right and it's good. And a number of the songs we sang this morning were pointing at the nature and character of God. And obviously the big rock idea of accomplishing salvation and David's wonderful leading us into communion of his spilt blood for our behalf. So that's something he's done historically. But what's he doing now? What's he doing now in your life? How is he proclaiming his nearness and his goodness and his power and his presence in your life? Not just I am love, which is good. It's right and proper to consider who God is and his attributes. But he's also a God of action and presence. And he wants us to remember and publish his deeds among the nations to one another. If we're not speaking that to each other, we can lose sight. And I've got a few stories I'd like to share that have kind of wrapped up and that we've seen over the last few weeks. But I would love to hear what you see and experience God doing in your midst. Here's the deal. There's a ton of reasons to be cynical. There's a ton of reasons to be fearful. There's a ton of reasons to be discouraged if you choose to dwell on those things. If you're not looking at the nature and character of God, if you're not paying attention to his kingdom moving forward, if you're not in those conversations, it would be really, really easy to just burrow in somewhere and hope everybody just leaves you alone. But that is not our call. Just like we need hope, we have a mission. We have a vector. And I'd just love to hear what you perceive God is doing in your midst. It doesn't have to be big, huge things. Just God saying, I'm here. I'm working. These stories? Yeah, Mr. Freeman.
So I'm going to speak quite bluntly here and don't read anything into what I'm saying more than what I'm saying, but there's been a lot about people politically, and the evangelical church has been largely identified with Trump, and, you know, things blew up, especially on January 6th with the riot at the Capitol and all that, and I know a lot of believers who are discouraged and maybe feeling hopeless and so forth. But I just want to say our hope has never been in a political system or a person or a politician or any of that stuff. And God has just opened up a ton of opportunities for me and even Molly to, I don't speak for her, but to have conversations with people like on the other side. This is not to say, this is not a Republican church, this is not a Democrat church, this is a church of people following Jesus, and there are people on both sides in this congregation. But let me just give you a quick example. So there's this friend we made in Germany, this family we made friends with in Germany several years ago, and we went to visit Germany to visit our foreign exchange student's family. And I got an email, and the subject line said, I want to understand. And she said, when you and Molly were here, you seemed like such decent, intelligent people who saw the TV and everything around them. And Frank and I are just trying to understand what's happening over there. And we know that you voted for Trump, because she's writing my blog. And don't read more into that than what I just said. Would you mind talking to us? Can I ask you some questions? And I said, yes, I would so much prefer that you talk to me personally rather than to make guesses from across the ocean about what's going on. So anyway, these things are, all this stuff ultimately goes down to worldview issues and truth and things that really matter. And these were things we couldn't talk about when we were over there, because it's like we're all being polite and nice and getting to know each other. And I wanted to talk about this stuff, but there just wasn't. It was like your first time meeting, right? So now there's this invitation. I'll just mention one other. There's this guy, he would describe himself as a bi-coastal San Francisco liberal who's a fundraiser for the Democratic Party. And we're reaching out to seek understanding and with each other. So we have a Zoom meeting every Wednesday night, and then turns out his wife is a religious studies major, and she's really interested. And so Molly and I and Bruce and his wife, Maeve, had a Zoom dinner because she just had 7,000 questions she wanted to ask us about religion, and because we're evangelicals and they're Unitarians. And so this is an ongoing thing, and now he wants me to speak at his over Zoom at his Unitarian church. So, but they're trying to figure out, why is this so hard? Why are we nervous about this? You know, it's like all these interesting questions. But we're called to be ministers of reconciliation. Mm. Ultimately, we hope to reconcile people all the way to God. Mm. But this business of listening to people from across the aisle, reaching across the aisle, understanding each other, I think is a really good place to start. And God's opened up, because of all this turmoil and evil, and these aren't the only two, God's opened up opportunities to go deep with some people who are truly, you know, on the other side. So.
Okay. Yeah, and I just want to add on to that. It really is a balance of listening and speaking. It's important to speak the truth in love, but it's so important to listen, and we're learning about that here in this church. Scott and I have gained so many listening skills beyond what we would have had if we had not come here to Beggar's Gate. So I'm super thankful for our leadership here and the tools that we are learning here together for listening and sharing and caring. I mean, I think even though Maeve had 7,000 questions about religion, she actually didn't ask very many questions about religion. It was mostly really sharing things. She shared with us some very personal things about her life and her family and relatives and things, and we had the opportunity to care for her in that, and I think they've cared for us on some topics too, so it's very cool to see God doing that.
So cool. You guys are well equipped for that, and I know that's been your heart, to be used by God to be in that conversation. So I love that all of everything that's so tumultuous around is creating these opportunities for the heart of God to be revealed more carefully and relationally to people who would probably never answer an altar call currently. So thanks for doing that. Hi, Bethany.
Yeah, so kind of like that, I met a neighbor who is a poet, and I always loved writing, but I hadn't written for a long time, and then I met her, and so I started writing again, like, as a way to connect with her, and it's really cool, because poetry, by default, is about deep feelings and controversial topics, and all sorts. Right. So we've just been writing a ton of poetry and talking about all sorts of deep stuff, and I just think it's so fun that God can use a hobby or a talent like writing to drive straight into really deep stuff. And she would go to a Unitarian church, and I mean, we're from all sorts of different opinions, but she really appreciates it, because I'm also one of the only people that will give her hugs right now. So she is like a person to meet in person with and give her hugs is really cool. And the other one is that when I was little, when I was like 5 or 6, one of my grandmas is not a Christian, and I wanted to write her this letter and tell her about the gospel. But my parents wouldn't send it because they were afraid it would offend her. And I don't know what I wrote. Maybe it was offensive. But so finally it occurred to me, like, oh, I'm a grown-up now. I could write my own letter. So in the last week, I wrote her a letter. And it was cool because I got to use a lot of the TPM ideas of the heart as opposed to just, this is the gospel, like the Bible says. Huh. And I was really nervous about how she would respond. And she loved it. And she said that I can share anything I want with her. So yeah, it's like, you know, there are all sorts of thoughts that God tells me about the gospel. And she's Jewish and probably more Unitarian. And so all sorts of cool.
Yeah. I'll share, but I forgive me in advance because I really hate public speaking. But my grandpa passed away in December, and he lived in a trailer park in the east side of Greeley. And the Lord has just, over the last 6 months, really been opening my eyes to the people there. And so when he passed away, I talked to Ken about his thoughts on moving there. And of course he said, of course, this is just that kind of thing. Minus going to Russia. He's not ready for that yet. But I only want to pay $100,000. I kind of have these things in my mind. But my mom does not want me raising my kids in that community, and her sister and uncle don't want to sell it for $100,000. So you see all these things that seem impossible. And then in my Bible study, we're doing Genesis, and it's just happening to be landing in Jacob stealing Esau's blessing. And God is sovereign. If he wants me to live in Greeley, I'm going to live in Greeley. And I just love that he gave me that at this time, so I can have peace. I don't want it if God doesn't want it. So I just know that if he wants us to move there, we're going to move there. And he's going to have to convince three other people, and he can do it. So I have that, and then just all at once, like God's just so near right now. I'm just struggling with my mom and her attitude right now, and I just feel like not inviting her to stuff, and just kind of want to be away. And God like literally told me, you love. That's what I want you to do. So just that it came to that, like my heart was, I'm done for a while, and he's like, no, it's not. You love. So that's all. God's good. God's good.
So, on Friday, our law firm sold. So now I'll tell you the amazing thing. So in 1996, my husband and I had looked for land for 2 years from Montana to New Mexico, and ended up where we did, a mile east of the interstate. God had given us absolutely everything we wanted in a hunk of land, except we were a mile east of the interstate instead of west of the interstate. From that point, we built the shop in 98. Is that right? Yeah, 98. In 98, and moved into the shop in 99. We lived in the shop for 2 years while our log home was being built. They finished it in 2001. God can, I've just used it amazingly. I pray that he would use that land. And we have seen him do that over and over again. This year, as we were looking at selling it, obviously, you know, I've been replanted now after 5 years, and so I'm now a city dweller for the first time in my life. And we'll see where God does, what he does with that. He has definitely taken me off of maintenance, I feel, and he has put me on a new mission here in Wilton. As we were journeying through putting the log home on the market a year ago, I signed with realtors. It was really special to me that these realtors are believers. They were an amazing husband and wife team. I don't know how God works all of these things, but I know that he's an amazing God because I see him over and over with these things. And as we come to a year of COVID and an election year, we're going, yeah, like a log house is going to sell this year. And so on election day, we signed a contract. In the middle of COVID, and kept going through, jumping through all the hoops, came up to Thursday last year, and all of their financing fell through. So not only did their financing fell through, but they had contingency. They had a contingency on their house. That one had a contingency. Is it three people down, four people down?
Yeah, like three levels deep.
Three levels deep. Three levels deep with contingencies when it fell through. So it's like, okay, God. And then Sue says, but I could use this to give you income. Are you willing to be able to carry the loan? And I said, yes. And so on Friday, we closed, and three people got their houses.
Wow.
Great big huge thing for me, an amazing thing, is I really wanted believers in this house. And on Wednesday we met with them, shared our 32nd elevator, right? Yeah. Whatever that is. Ask for their stories, and yes, born again believers. They are excited about the property. They are excited about using the pool to baptize their 96-year-old uncle. Does that sound familiar for those that have been baptized in that pool? It's a end of an amazing journey that God has certainly answered my prayer for them to be in my home and for me for them and believe. Amazing things, and obviously more than any of us could have ever imagined. So, he provided all of you guys with all of your many hands and hours that you put into that place. Thank you. Thank you very much. He had to move Pat and Cindy halfway across the nation because he knew that I would need all of their skill sets in order to bring me to this part. So, retell the story. My prayer is that God continues to receive the glory from all that he has done. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I just wrap up here with just a couple things. I in terms of hope, oftentimes we have the attention span of gnats. In terms of the endurance and waiting for God to actually do something, and we can oh please do it, and then he doesn't do it like now or yesterday, and oh, no, he doesn't love me, and this all stinks, and the world is ending, and we can move to that place of cynicism because we just don't endure. Just this has been encouragement to me. Hopefully it will speak or at least create the possibility that God may still be doing things that you have not yet seen the conclusion to in your life. Now, and one of the things that just this last week has been really exciting, or last week and a half-ish, one of those was Janine's. About 8 years ago, we had the first conversation about what do we need to do to make sure that Janine's in a good place, in place of ministry, and get the weight of the land. About 2012 is when she, maybe early 2013, we had that first conversation about, is it time to start thinking about what we should do next to make sure you're in a healthy place in all means? So it's a long journey and lots of ups and downs. We're going to build a house. We're not going to build a house. And, I mean, just lots of twists and turns. Is God going to walk this all out? And yet he did. And that all, you know, eight-ish years later, we see the end of that journey and God's faithfulness in really amazing stories. And looking forward to seeing what God does with all that. Another one that happened at the M28, for those of you who don't know, M28 is our organization that we're connected with. It's mostly people that we've been connected with through another organization that disbanded. Now it's reformed. And most of that doesn't mean anything and doesn't need to mean anything to you. But it's a landing place for some like-minded folks who want to keep laboring together to the ends of the earth. I was first exposed to the perspectives class, I think about 2004, maybe 2005. And I immediately started talking to the people in our circle, thinking, well, this is really a good tool. I'd really love to see us use this tool. And began talking at the national level, at the regional level, and encouraging. And by and large, it was seen as just because of ignorance, not because of anything that's nefarious, just didn't know what it was. Why would we do that? Why would we do that? And to see the finally, after about 15 or 16 years, the impact of perspectives on men I've loved and served with for 30 years, and hear coming out of their mouths, this was good, this is good, this has value, this is a blessing, this is something significant, and not just in our little circle, but a bigger circle around the country of that we used to be more closely associated with, but due to those reorganization things, we're not officially connected with them anymore, but we're obviously relationally and missionally and connected and care about them. But just that was just really, really satisfying. I just thought it was a touched by God time out in the mountains north of Tucson. It was just really a blessing to see God's Spirit moving and speaking and kind of, I think, refining, not resetting a vector, but kind of beginning to refine what is it we're going to do together to see the kingdom advanced. And so, again, a very long process. And just this last week was the 11th anniversary of us loading up a U-Haul and moving to Colorado. By and large, just due to a lot of things that were happening there, really have not had any contact with Manhattan since then. Had a few phone calls, and a couple students came out that first year to do a project and hang out a little bit. But pretty much, but next weekend, that's where we're going. We're going back to bring influence of some of our marriage relationships, relational skills stuff to the church at Manhattan that we started 3 years before we came out here, or 2 years. And so just this kind of reconnection place with something that was really sweet time in our world. Most fun I ever had in ministry was in Manhattan. Got to run a bike shop and see lots and lots of people come to faith and work with students. It was a great time, and most of those are now on church planting endeavors. Some are even around the world serving as missionaries. But it's just kind of the faithfulness of God to just kind of close that loop and bring back. And it may be that because of all that organizational stuff, Manhattan actually ends up in our world, in the M28 world. I don't think that's, there's nothing final yet, is there, John? But that's kind of the direction they're leading, which should just be really fun for me, just to see God's faithfulness scoop up that place where we invested some time and energy, to see them join us and participate. It's a great little town. If you don't like art, it's a great town. or salsa, or hot spicy food, yeah. If you can live without those two things, it's a great place to live. So anyway, just a couple examples where these loops closed on some long waiting, longer projects. You know, they're not bad. It's not bad to wait, but sometimes it's just the fact that that loop does close, the bow does get tied, just brings joy. And so what I'd love to ask you to do this week is with your families, roommates, whatever your station is, friends, try to tell some stories of what you've seen God do. Just stop and ask him. Between now and the start of the Super Bowl, which most of you in this room I don't think care about the Super Bowl, but just assume that it was a national holiday and things, something pretty significant was happening at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Before that, try to just take 10 minutes to go, Lord, what have you been doing? Help me, give me eyes to remember and see your hand moving. And then just share that with someone that's close in your proximity. And if you really want to see God glorified, find somebody in the next week who is not a follower of Jesus. You got 5 minutes? Can I just share something I've seen God do? It's just been really encouraged by. Most people will not be troubled by that. Some will, but most will not. They may think you're crazy, but it's not going to really, really bother. Most people will just go, oh, because most people still believe there is a God. And they have a sense that he does have activity. They're just not sure what that means and looks like and how to have access to him. So to speak your hope, to remember why you're hopeful, and then to speak it to the body and then to the world we live in. So let me close here. Lord, we are so grateful for this day to honor you, to celebrate who you are, and to remember and celebrate what you are doing. We just bless you. You're a God who keeps promises. You're a God who honors your word. You're a God that does good. And we get to love and serve you. Help us to speak of your glory, that you might get more. In Jesus' name, amen.